This is Joanna Schrader reporting for AgWire.com, and I am here on the last day of the Cattle Industry Summer Conference, and I am with Matt Teagarden. Matt, how are you?
I'm fine.
So, Matt, I see you're from Topeka, Kansas. One of the questions I've been asking people, what generation rancher are you?
Well, my family's been raising cattle for a long time, so I'm probably fourth or fifth generation. We've been in Kansas for that many generations, and before that, further east in the state, so at least four generations.
So, Matt, this week there's been a lot of talk about policy, even though that's not the only thing discussed during the conference. You have a lot of policies that could impact your business. For you personally, what has been one that's really been on your radar this week?
The one that I've been following most closely this week is some language that we've advanced here during the summer conference dealing with the mandatory cool program. There's a ruling, the confidential ruling from the World Trade Organization, indicating that Canada and Mexico are justified in their claim that our mandatory cool program violates our trade agreements. And so we've tried to be proactive in fixing that issue, not appealing it, not going forward with that, but fixing the issue, fixing the program so it's compliant. Canada and Mexico are our two biggest trading partners for beef. We export more beef to Mexico and Canada than anywhere else. And our members, KLA members and Kansas cattle producers, don't want to see that relationship jeopardized.
Great. And then what regulations proposed right now do you think could most have the most impact on your business?
I think for our folks and me personally, I see the Gypsy rule as potentially the most dangerous. That rule could really set back the industry and the gains we've made over the past 20 or 30 years, and especially the last 10 or 12 years, where more and more of our producers are utilizing these value-added programs where they can capture more of the value of the calves that they produce, the genetics that they invest in. They can capture the value from those investments. And we see that Gypsy rule just turning it back to where all cattle, the good, the bad, and the ugly, are valued the same. And that provides no incentive to improve the genetics. And when you do that, we're really not delivering the kind of product that consumers want and are willing to pay for.
So what down the road, whether it's 6 months to a year, even a couple years out, what do you think is going to be the greatest challenge for your business?
I think a lot of people see this that way. The cow herd and the continual decline of the cow herd really presents a challenge for our industry. We're reducing the amount of product that we have for consumers, and so when you think about competing with the other proteins and what that price differential might be, and we know the challenges, the weather this year, the extreme drought that goes right through the heart of cow country, Texas and Oklahoma, and comes up into Kansas. Even though all the signals are there from an economic standpoint to expand, calf prices at all-time highs and all that, we still aren't going to be able to grow the cow herd this year because of the grass availability, the forage availability. And so I think that's going to be a challenge. Even if the weather was right, there's factors that are challenging us in terms of growing the cow herd. Our cow-calf producers are getting older. They're at the point where they're maybe wanting to cut back, maybe stay the same, and probably not grow. And so we've got to identify that next kind of generation of cow-calf producers, those folks willing to watch those cows, every day and go through calving season and all that. So to me, that's the biggest challenge we face. The number of cows impacts our infrastructure. We've got feed yards that have so much bunk space, so they need cattle. Our packing plants have so much rail space, and so it's head. Even though we can make them bigger and we have, the total pounds aren't maybe that much different, we still, so much of our business is based on the number of head. It's really key to kind of grow that back.
So, Matt, that said, what are you most optimistic about?
Well, I think the other side of that is that if we can get the right conditions, and we have the opportunity to expand. Both here in the States, I think we have the opportunity to grow beef demand and total beef consumption here in the States. If you look around the world, as the world economy rebounds from the recession, man, the opportunities are tremendous. In Asia, we've seen what's happened in Japan with the growth there. Korea, just the last couple years, the amount of export growth there. And China, that's still essentially untapped. I heard yesterday that we get a little product in there kind of through Vietnam, and it's not U.S. Once it gets there, but we're getting a little bit in there. But that country, just a tremendous growth opportunity. And we're tapping markets, you know, Middle East. We're sending livers to Egypt, and we're figuring out how to maximize the total value of that carcass by identifying these various export markets. And so I just think that really, if we can get the weather to cooperate and all that, we really have a chance to have a lot of good years ahead.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.